views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind these enemy lines that I call USA Inc. Today's date is October the 10th. It is 2017, but I think pretty much everybody knew that already. But it is a Tuesday afternoon. Sorry for the late start. We were having trouble getting into the conference line. It was not connecting, but it's connected now. And if you have any questions or comments about any other things that we'll be speaking on during the next 2 hours, give us a call at 866-510-9025. That's 866-910-9025. Hit star, we'll see you on the board and give you an opportunity to share your news and views with us today. Of course, we also share music during this 2 hour broadcast, as it is news, commentary, and music. So, as I mentioned on yesterday's broadcast, I wanted to take an in-depth look at this intelligence assessment report, which is basically an opinion report that admits that it's making assumptions about the so-called black identity movement. I didn't know there was a black identity movement, to be honest with you. I just thought that different people identify different ways based on religious beliefs, spiritual beliefs, and other labels that other people put on them. So I didn't know that there was an identity movement that they're calling the black identity extremists, who they're saying likely, see these words right here, likely means, I don't know, but I'm gonna just throw this out there and see if it stick to the wall, but likely motivated to target law enforcement officers. Again, this is a report that came out quietly during the month of August this year. Most of this network was focused on the Millions for Prisoners Human Rights March, which occurred on August the 19th, but we were definitely in the planning stages and the fundraising stages, and this just got by me. I can't answer for other outlets and why we're just now hearing about it, but while the report is a bunch of garbage, we should pay attention to it and treat it very seriously, because this, again, is a report that was made to send out, not to the public, not to lawmakers. It was to send out to police departments at every level. But again, and I don't care if people get tired of me bringing it up, I'm going to keep bringing it up, that in 2006, the FBI said that there was a movement of white supremacists into law enforcement, and that they had infiltrated at every level. And I can't think of a time in reading history where they have not been a part of the white supremacist movement. So I go figure. But this report said that you got these people who are bought into the church of white supremacy, and they worship white supremacy, and you know, they are definitely down with that ideology, but they don't get the Nazi tattoos, they don't get the Confederate tattoos, and because some of them know that that might hinder some of their job opportunities, or they don't want to bring attention to themselves in that manner, they are working undercover. Now, so again, now we have the FBI, what, almost 10 years later, 10, 11 years later, coming out with a report. Yeah, 11 years. Coming out with a report that is now, instead of focusing on racism and white supremacy, is, again, focusing on victims and trying to paint black people with a broad brush and saying if they have strong black identities, if they don't, if they want to build separate institutions and segregate themselves away, doesn't matter because the motivation behind that is systemic racism and white supremacy. No, we're going to say they extreme from wanting not to be mistreated. I mean, we've been mistreating these Negroes for hundreds of years. You would think that they would come to appreciate it by now. How dare they want to separate themselves? Man, these people are and they're not stupid. They know exactly what they're doing. It seems absurd to a logically thinking person, but we're dealing with extremists in law enforcement. We're dealing with white supremacist extremists. So definitely be taking a look at the next two pages of that report. It's only 12 pages long. I find that I process information better if I break it down into different segments and I spend time, you know, focusing on the words that they use. And sometimes that leads me to look up definition of words and other things. So I just don't want to rush through this report. I don't want to give a reactionary report and be saying this, that, and the other. And I haven't actually taken the time to break the report down. So that's what I will continue to do today. Again, we'll reserve that mostly for the second hour. I can tell you already we're going to get into some names. Micah Johnson, who identified himself as Micah X, you know, because this is something that the Nation of Islam started doing back in the 60s and saying, we don't want our former slave masters' names and we're going to adopt the last name X until we get a proper Muslim name or something to that effect. And so that's where that comes from. All right. Now, I can understand that sentiment, but at the same time, don't assume that every black person in this country is share the same family heritage or that same family experience of being descendants of enslaved Africans. And so, you know, that's also not painting people with a broad brush and just reading history and realize, but I understand the sentiment. I understand the sentiment of people using X. And so Micah Johnson, his name is mentioned. Micah Johnson, I believe, was the alleged shooter in Baton Rouge. Was that Baton Rouge where that went down, or was it somewhere else? Was it in Texas? Was he the Dallas, accused of being the one in Dallas? I don't know, but they're going to get into some names into this report. And they're cherry picking. And again, another common theme that I pointed out yesterday that I have seen among these people alleged to be the shooters are they also U.S. veterans, primarily U.S. Army veterans. Christopher Dorner, we can look up his information. I believe he was in the Army first. I'm trying to remember if he ever was attached to the Navy, but this was before he became a Los Angeles Police Department. He became an officer. So he has that in his background. But several of the other ones are said to have been veterans. So that's not being mentioned in this report. Just the fact that they're black and Christopher Dorner was not a Moor, didn't identify as a Moor. He didn't identify as anything else other than a African-American, a.k.a. black person, or, you know, he really doesn't even get into his identity or anything like that. So, again, this is a report that they are admitting is full of assumptions in their assessment. And, again, so they're leaving out a whole lot of information. That is because this is a political report. This is a report in support of slavery, and it actually, since the audience targeted was your average everyday slave catcher on the ground, it's to give them a heads up and perhaps even a justification or an excuse to use and to shoot somebody, and then after they're dead and there's no video or anything, they'll be telling us, yeah, that person threw up the Black Power fist and then put his hand in his pocket and I had to shoot him. Because, you know, I got this report from the FBI that said that these black identity extremists, and when I saw that red, black, and green sticker on the bumper you know, red, black, and green, Africa, oh my God, this, I'm rolling up on a terrorist. Yeah. But again, the same report says, don't bring this up in court. You can't use this in court. Don't use this as a defensive if some prosecutor has some gumption to practice justice and bring charges against you for gunning down that black person. Don't mention this report, because we're telling you in the report, this cannot be used in court. So why is it even being distributed to them at all? It's the question you need to ask yourself. So that's, I do want to go over that report over the next couple of days. If you've read it already, if you have some opinions, some insights, some analysis, because they use these terms, they use these words. And perhaps you may have worked in the government and you know what they're talking about, or you can just, you know, give us some insight. But we all have access to a dictionary. We can look up the meaning of words, so we can handle it that way. Now, do want to go over some of the news headlines of the day, but before I do that, and if you have some news to report that you want to share, it's best to get it in during this first hour. But if you have some news to report, again, you can join us at the Uber conference line that we have. It also has a chat room. You can go to uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network, or you can give us a call at 866-510-9025. Attempted to speak with Spence, who is in the UK, and he could not, he lost phone service, couldn't call in yesterday. Spence, if you're able to hear us through the internet, because you got internet access, give us a call. We definitely want to hear from you about what's going on in the U.S. occupied territory known as the Virgin Islands. So sorry, I understand after the show you was trying to get in on the show, and I don't know what problems you were having. So you can also try another number, and that is the 704 number. Maybe your exchange can't pick up that 866 number, so the other number you might want to try. Anybody out there, if y'all having problems connecting through the 866 number, call us at 704-802-5056. That's 704-802-5056. So let me get into some of the news items of the day, but I got something I need to get off my chest, so to speak, before I share some of the news during the next hour. And again, on the second hour, I was focused mostly on that BIE report. All right, so y'all know that black women identifying themselves as feminists, as being something other than and apart from the black community, have taken to attacking black males and to paint us all with a criminal brush, nothing we haven't seen before. Okay, you got to understand the white dollars that's behind this. You got to understand that a lot of these black feminists voted overwhelmingly for Hillary Clinton. All right, it didn't matter that she called black men and boys and Hispanic men and boys super predators. Doesn't matter that she called poor women, while she didn't say black. We know who she meant. We know who they think is all on welfare and nobody else is on welfare. But it didn't matter to them that she helped her husband and the Republicans pass the Welfare Reform Act, which is causing many problems we face with today. Just like we talked about the Bronx 120 in New York, where if you live in public housing, that if a family member gets in trouble, The whole family gets kicked out. They don't even have to get convicted of a crime. All they got to do is get arrested and accused of a crime. No conviction, and they can kick you out. This is federal law. That happened during the Clinton administration working with a Republican Congress. So none of that seemed to matter to y'all. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking not to all black women. I'm talking to those Hillary bots out there. Those that are now taking a page from her book and trying to paint black males as everything that's wrong in the black community. Does crime help happen in the black community? Do women get raped? Do women get abused? Do they suffer domestic violence? Yes, they do. But that's not the majority. I know. If one woman is suffering domestic violence, then we're all at a threat of domestic violence. Yes, we should look at it that way. But before you try to make black men to be super predators, to preying upon black women and we're your number one enemy, please consider the fact that we're only talking about we're only talking about a very small percentage of black men, and that the vast majority of black men aren't raping women, aren't molesting women, aren't doing any of these things. We aren't doing any of these things. Okay? So I'm getting kind of perturbed with these people, especially on social media, and recognize that some of these profiles, they could be white people. Again, super billionaires and stuff paid a lot of money to trolls, to troll the internet. I know all they want to talk about is Russia and want you to think something was wrong. If they did it in buying Facebook ads, like that's the reason, that's made up your mind of why you voted for or didn't vote. Oh, come on. People can pay for ads. This is a capitalistic society, and the United States does it all the time. But y'all seem to forget the stories that billionaires like Harvey Weinstein, there's a clue to where I'm going with this. These billionaires with these super PACs for Hillary Clinton was paying people to push these fake narratives on the internet, on social media. The Bernie Bros, this is sexism. The Bernie Bros is coming after Hillary and all of that nonsense. You know, these are political tactics. These are tactics meant to divide. And so that's all these people are doing. Just trying to make black males the face of everything that's wrong in the black community by using a few criminals in our community to make that the face of us all. I mean, by the flip side, we could do the same thing, and we could say not just the black women who voted for Hillary Clinton, all right, but all black women. We can assume that all black women are Hillary Clinton supporters. They down with this feminism led by white women, paid for by white male dollars and what have you. But I'm not going to do that. So I'm just going to speak to you black women who supported Hillary Clinton, still support Hillary Clinton, would vote for her today if the election had a do-over tomorrow. Y'all would vote for her. Y'all be out campaigning for her today. Regardless of the fact she spent a lifetime defending those men who you say are preying upon women. How many women did Hillary Clinton attack for accusing her husband of being a serial sexual assaulter and harasser? Don't y'all got her on tape laughing in a rape case where she defending a rapist? And not to say that anything, everybody should have representation, whether they did it or not. They should have representation if they so choose. But the vulgar way, in an inappropriate way, that they were discussing the case and people in the case, that's pretty disgusting. But yet y'all voted for this woman. Y'all voted for this woman. But then you want to come at black males on Twitter, and obviously somebody has come at me personally, but I've witnessed it for a time, and saying we're not doing enough to protect women and girls, black girls, that we ain't, you know, that we're actually the ones harming them, or we're not speaking up. Look, as I pointed out to Dr. Stacey Patton, and I hope she would agree, it was a very cordial Twitter exchange where she's buying into this white liberal, white woman-led movement. And this ain't the first time we heard of not having sex with your partner until, I don't know what they want. I don't know what they want. Until abortion is settled law in the land. I already thought it was settled law in the land. You know, that's what they were talking about recently because of Donald Trump making moves through executive orders on Obamacare and saying that churches can get religious exemptions from covering abortions or contraceptive. And then next thing I know, y'all out saying, if I had a wife, because I don't got a wife, I don't even have a girlfriend. But if I had one, y'all trying to sow some marital discord, and I ain't the guilty party. I don't have that much power in this country. I don't have billions of dollars to spend on ads to influence people. All right? I don't have hundreds of thousands to spread around state legislatures in the state of North Carolina and to get them to redo the Constitution, the state Constitution, and abolish slavery and involuntary servitude, period. I don't have that kind of power. So what sense do it make me the target of your so-called boycott? You're just going to cause some marital discord. And to assume that I don't speak up for the women in my life, like I'm not on their side. And then, yeah, I'm a man with three daughters. Like, I'm not on their side. Y'all better miss me with that nonsense. Especially when you listen to that music, you celebrate these artists who are women, who have some of the most raunchiest, misogynistic, sexually objectifying content on the planet, but they don't bear any kind of societal responsibility on why women are still seen as sexual objects and what have you. Y'all better miss me with that, because you know you ain't got a leg to stand on. Because you with her. You with Hillary Clinton, who right now is being called out. Why she hasn't come out and said anything about Harvey Weinstein? Y'all know Harvey Weinstein. He's behind a lot of the film company that came out with Django. Almost all of that white guy, that film producer, Pulp Fiction. His name is slipping me right now. Yeah, that company, that Harvey Weinstein, that's the one that said something to that producer. Man, y'all, what's his name? Somebody tell me what that man name is. The producer came out with Django. The Hateful Eight was his recent film. The police was saying, boycott. Quentin Tarantino. Thank you, Otis. Thank you. Quentin Tarantino. Remember the police? Even his own father was blasting on him, saying because he participated in a stop the violence, police brutality in New York. Remember that when he stood up against police? I ain't gonna say stood up against, but he spoke out against police brutality. That's the company. And this Harvey Weinstein is the one who said something to him about, hey, man, you're going to hurt our box office sales, and you don't need to be going to the stop police brutality rallies and all of that. Okay. Yeah. That Harvey Weinstein that was just forced to resign from his company because he's been a serial sexual harasser in Hollywood, who also it has a whole lot of money and gives it to Democrats and liberals. And I'm not trying to make this a partisan thing, but this is who he gave his money to. It's just a factual thing. Yeah, he just got forced out. And Hillary Clinton took a lot of money from Harvey Weinstein and a bunch of other people, like, or gross white males with all the power in this country who've been preying upon these actresses in Hollywood for I don't know how long. Yeah, the Hillary Clinton ain't have problem taking money from him and want some more money from him. That's why she ain't calling them out. She could have called them out right when this came out. Not wait a week to see which way the wind gonna blow. Not just do a focus group and do an internal poll on whether she should speak out publicly or not. Because if she was with you, she would have been one of the first ones. And been like, all that money he donated to my campaigns, I'm taking it out of my personal bank account and I'm going to donate it to women's charities or what have you. She ain't doing nothing like that. So you with her. Don't be trying to come at me. Let's go to the phone lines, area code 646. Someone, I'm assuming from the New York area. Thank you for calling in to BTR News. What's on your mind?
Oh, peace, Billy.
Hey, this is hey Tag. What's going on, Tag?
In fact, I was just looking to quickly provide the name Tarantino that you were searching for, but certainly this report is rather fascinating. And, just very much appreciative that you're devoting the kinds of minutes to it, that are needed to really, dissect it.
Oh, most certainly. Most certainly. It deserves this kind of attention. And again, even though they're saying this can't be used in court, this ain't backed up by no current U.S. law. Actually what they're doing or saying may be constitutionally protected, which we talked about yesterday, those type of words. But still, the act of sending this out to the slave catcher, what is the intent here? What is the intent? If you can't use this to defend a slave catcher killing somebody in court, why are you sending this out? What's the intent? But I really want to focus on that. We'll go into the report, but the next few pages of the report during the second hour. But if anybody wants to comment on what we have discussed thus far in the report, like from yesterday, feel free. We ain't got to stay on this attack on black males that's coming from the Hillary Clinton movement. We can talk about that as well. But did you have anything else you want to share? And Tag, again, can you confirm for me, because I mentioned the Bronx 120, you're in that area, you've been a part of the advocacy groups that's been advocating for them, but am I not telling the truth that Welfare Reform Act back in the 1990s made it so that if you are in public housing and a member of your household, minor, grown person, whatever, gets arrested, that you can be put out of public housing? And are we not seeing that in part of the Bronx 120 case?
Exactly. No, absolutely. That is going on, and that is being militated against our community out here. And, the Beastwoods, Bill, Hillary, and their whole cabal, certainly were responsible for some of the more destructive moves against public housing in general throughout this country in the 90s. And, as a direct result of those kinds of actions, the public housing NYCHA, had the room and felt emboldened enough to more recently in the past few to several years start to really kind of ramp up and reinforce some of the policies and protocols that they did have on the books, but were perhaps less militarily enforced than they are now. And certainly now they're being used with impunity.
Just wanted to double check there. I was confident in my information, but I just wanted people to know that I'm not on here just making up stuff, being a blowhard, and that the Clintons have been responsible for policies that are still in effect that are really harming us, harming the whole black and brown family, not just the black males, not the black females, not just the adults, not just the children, but the elderly as well. I mean, people really just don't understand. And I'm going to chalk that up to ignorance among, no, I'm not going to chalk it up to ignorance, because Tag is a college student and he does his research and he knows about these policies when he was just probably not even born or is still in the crib or a toddler when this stuff was passed. So, but thanks, Tag. Otis.
Well, how you doing, Scott? Well, Tag is 100% right, because actually some of these things were just procedural interagency stuff when Ronald Reagan was in, because I actually did contracts with the Dallas Housing Authority in the 80s, and any kind of domestic interference from the police could get you expelled, but that was just an agency thing. Bill Clinton was the one that actually codified this into law and changed a lot of federal aid into what you keep hearing about now, quote, block grants, where you would get federal money into a place like Dallas. The public is told that it's made for housing projects, but if the city decided to use that to fix an adjoining property so that they could put a headquarters in for what at that time was 7-Eleven was a big Southland corporation. I know this for a fact because I worked in the area. They could do that. They could divert the funds because it was a block grant.
So or divert the block grants, Otis. Otis.
Yeah.
Don't police slave catchers get block grants?
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm saying to you. That's why I get upset when people keep trying to dice this thing to a political affiliation. My party is better than yours. If you don't know the details of what's going on, you get screwed by the title. And I get sick and tired of educated people want to give you something based on a topic or a cover book they read, and they never parsed through the pages to find out what's really in it. It's really disheartening to me. I understand now why our people have been so deceived over 5 decades. Nobody wants to go through the minutiae and find out what's really going on. Now, I want to say something else, too. When you keep talking about this new thing with the BIE, I keep saying to people, if you don't understand that the police actually maced and locked up their own white children with Occupy, the majority of those people were Occupy. Why? Because they were protesting what the heart of this country is all about, money and economics. When those kids were out there for Wall Street, they had police in every city infiltrating them. So the only purpose now, like you've been saying with this BIE, to put out something that's not supposed to be an official document, but taxpayers' money was spent to put it together and research it, and somebody got paid for this, that's simply to spread the information that you have what the Department of Justice is saying. You have carte blanche to lock these MFs up. We don't have anything official, but now it's out there in the public. If you want to lock them up for whatever reason, lock them up. You can't use
No, it's more than lock them up. It's kill them. It's here's your justification. Because look at these people, Micah X, a.k.a. Micah Johnson. These people were subscribed to the Moorish ideology, or they're part of the nation. You have justification to kill them. If they win,
Look at it.
Yeah.
300 and some people in St. Louis alone, and nobody's catching on to that. They're locking up people who are supposed to be journalists and legal scholars just witnessing things. They're locking them up. They've even used the Israelis and the Irish police tactic of what they call kettling now. They don't just run in mass like they used to. Now they form lines and herd you in just like getting cattle off with a period. They lock you up into a mass pen, haul you in, and process you on through. Matter of fact, that way they can process you through and you can never figure out who among the crowd is actually a plant. You there?
Peace. Did the line disconnect?
I think so.
No, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now? All right, I'm back. All right, I'm sorry. I had myself muted. What was the sister name that was killed in Baltimore? There's so many victims. Y'all have to forgive me when I forget names. The light, real light skinned sister.
Korean Gaines.
That was in Buffalo, wasn't it?
No, that was in Baltimore, in a suburb of Baltimore, in that area. Now, what was she saying, you know, how she had been stopped and given tickets and didn't have license plates, and she was saying that, you know, I'm expressing sovereignty ideology, saying that you don't have authority over me, this, that, and the other. That's justification.
Yes, Corinne Gaines.
Yeah, yeah. That's justification right there in this BIE document. If you come across them, they might be terrorists. And y'all know what we do to terrorists. This is to plant this in the mind of the rank and file slave catcher out there. So it's really disgusting. I do want to jump to some music. We're going to take a music break. When we come back on the other side, we'll continue this conversation and any news that you want to share. But during the second hour, we're going to delve back into, again, this has been redacted. If you think what we do know from this is bad, just imagine what it is that they're hiding from us. All right. So we'll go into, let me see what page for those that had a report so we can follow along. Page 3. We'll go to page 3. Did we cover this yesterday? I'm not sure. Okay. No. Yeah. We'll start on page 3. All right, so we're going to take a music break. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc., where they practice legalized slavery and human trafficking via the 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Stay tuned.
They just hope that he'll never wake up because they never want to beat him on the battlefield.
America, in terms of where she goes and, you know, like who she controls, her whole sphere of influence is diminishing. America is fighting on about 5 or 6 different fronts right now. Latin America, you know, like Africa, Middle East, and Vietnam, and here domestically. So I think that, you know, given the system and given that it operates off the military-industrial complex, which means that war is profitable, and that, you know, like General Steele, or USS Steele, must make steal the tanks to hire people, you know, to give people jobs so they can spend the money to buy other goods. The very fact that the system operates off that principle means that when the man comes back, when the man is run out of every country, then it will become necessary to wage war in his own country.
Black boy,
yeah, yo. Party for your right to fight, yeah, yo.
have brutalized us and made us the victims for the past 400 years, then it is time for us to do whatever is necessary to defend ourselves.
Boy, cream it up, earth. And what's their first system? Devils prevent us from being known. But you check out the books they own. Even Masons know it, they won't show. Yo, but it's proven in fact. It takes the nations of millions to hold us back.
Welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting on this mic today. It is October the 10th, 2017. If you missed the latest edition of Black Talk Radio Weekly, remember you can sign up for that subscription at our website, blacktalkradionetwork.com, where we talk about some of the industry, radio industry related stuff. This week I covered that, but I'll be getting into a lot more in these weekly newsletters, and also the BIE report, which is a LIE report. We discussed that, or I discussed it in that weekly newsletter. So definitely it is not something where we're going to just be sharing trivial stuff with you. No, we want to arm you with information that you can possibly act on and use through our weekly newsletter. And so yesterday we dedicated Fear of a Black Planet to the Trump administration and the ghost skins and the FBI. And so today we will dedicate tracks from the album It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back, as we just again heard from Public Enemy, Party for Your Right to Fight. Again, this is music that was going out over the public terrestrial airwaves, and not all of this misogynistic trap music that you hear going out on these terrestrial airwaves today. But hey, if you're listening to this type of music, if you're buying this kind of music on Apple or wherever you buy your music from, hey, they probably identifying that you listen to a nation. It takes a nation that a millions to hold us back. You're listening to Fear of a Black Planet with all of those black identity messages in that music. You must be loaned to a terrorist cell or what have you. That's what they telling slave catchers through this report. Because that's who it's for, and keep that in mind. This wasn't for you. This wasn't for the public. This wasn't written to brief Congress on domestic terrorism. No. And what did Congress just get through telling them? After Charlottesville made Trump sign a resolution into law condemning racism, white supremacy, and to devote federal resources to tackling white supremacy as identified by them, this Congress, as a domestic terrorist movement. And what do we get from the FBI? The exact opposite of that. Are you surprised? I'm not surprised. Jeff Sessions came in the door. That's the attorney general. He came in the door signaling to slave catchers all over the nation that, hey, we're going to be a hands-off Department of Justice. I know y'all was getting sued a lot under the Obama administration and going into these consent decrees for violating the citizens of the United States supposed rights and what have you. But you ain't got to worry about that with a, did he not come in the door signaling that to the slave catcher? So this is just a continuation of his agenda. Or I should say their agenda. Jeff Sessions is a ghost skin who has infiltrated levels of government, who is a white supremacist. He just ain't got the tattoos. Tag, did you want to jump back in? And then we got Brother Derek who wants to comment. But Tag, did you have something else? I see you're unmuted. I don't hear you, Tag. All right, we'll jump to Tag, if you want to jump in here, star. We'll go to Derek. Derek, thanks for calling in and supporting Black Talk Radio. What's on your mind today?
How you doing, Scotty? I looked up to see, you know, what other publications are saying about this black identity. All I did was put black identity in Google, and some of the headlines are very ridiculous. I mean, it's like the everything you were saying, the worst fear is about giving the cop the go-ahead, the green light. And the cops are being given the green light to execute us. And it's done with this yellow journalism. That's the problem that we're having, is this yellow journalism. I posted a couple of the headlines, just the headlines only, in the chat room, but GQ Magazine has good headlines. They said the headline is, the FBI is trying to make up a new kind of black terrorist. You know, so they're not really buying it. But, of course, you look at Fox headline, FBI cites black extremists as new domestic terrorists. Then you look at headline from the Independent, FBI warns of new threat of black identity extremism. And then there's one I've never heard of, the foreignpolicy.com. It says, the FBI's new U.S. terrorist threat. Black identity extremist law enforcement calls it a violent movement. Critics call it racist. You know, and then the last one is RT. Now, I'm surprised at RT. I'll say not surprised. I'm disappointed, not surprised. RT, their headline says, FBI report says black identity extremists seeking retaliation for a police shooting. So if that's not the green light to, hey, you better watch out for these black folks because they're all seeking retaliation, that's the green light for executions or whoever you want right there.
Yeah, escalation of the executions.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, and do you know what? This week, Scotty, I was going to do the painstaking job of listening to the Michael Savage show, so that if I get any sound bites of what he has to say about it, I can cut those out of there and send them to you. But this is right up his alley. This is what he's been. He wrote an entire book. I forget the name of the book, but his last book, before the last one, he wrote it saying that blacks were going to start a black war and that, you know, Obama was going to, you know, deputize the Crips and the Bloods and turn them into the police officers.
Oh, my God.
I mean, Michael Savage is a yellow journalist of the worst order. I look at him as my worst enemy. You know what I'm saying? But he flies under the radar. People get Breitbart and all these other people, you know, rightly so. But Michael Savage, I think, is the absolute worst. Because when George Bush was, George Bush 1 and George Bush 2 and Clinton, when they were president, it seemed as if Rush Limbaugh was king. Every so-called conservative hung on his word. And now Rush Limbaugh is kind of like irrelevant. It's all Michael Savage is calling the shots, but he's not getting the same attention that Rush Limbaugh was getting when he was as being the rebel rouser, as you would the yellow journalist that he is. He's flying under the radar, and nobody's talking about his deviltry that he's putting out over the air, which is yellow journalism.
I agree. It is, and it's to be expected, but it should always be combated, and that's why we have to take time out to go into these sort of reports and break it down for people so that they can combat this propaganda, because, as again, this is just a repeat of history. We saw the same sort of demonization during different periods of black males in this country. And let's just go to the early 1900s when Woodrow Wilson had the screening of the film Birth of a Nation, which was glorifying the Ku Klux Klan. What have followed in the decades after that open endorsement of this white supremacy was you had a period of we can't ever know the number of people who were lynched. They have attempted to document this, but we'll never know actually how many, because I'm sure most of it went unreported. So that's what I have to say about that. Tag, did you want to chime back in? I see you're unmuted. Are you able to speak now?
Yes, pardon that. I had to step away from the phone a sec, but I was still listening.
Well, what's on your mind?
What I was looking to point toward was, given that this hour you wanted to focus on other articles, and it seems like we're close to going into the text of this LIE report, I did want to just highlight this article. I mean, several outlets have been running it, but, you know, this issue around Texas Tech and Hollis Daniels, this recent slave catcher death, campus slave catcher death on the Texas Tech campus, at the hands of, or allegedly at the hands of Hollis Daniels, and just how this reporting, at least what I've seen of it thus far, doesn't seem to have any of the kind of rhetoric associated with these so-called black identity extremists. I'm not seeing anything pursuing or investigating his potential cross-programmatic relationships, quote-unquote, that might have influenced his decision-making process. You know, according to the standards that they lay out in the report, perhaps, you know, he wouldn't fully fit the criteria because perhaps it wasn't a premeditated act, according to their rubric. But I guess we'll see as reports continue to come out around that. But I found it particularly interesting that it says that this occurred while Hollis was being processed at the jail, which implies that for the entire time from when he was apprehended to arriving at the jail, he must not have been patted down or searched, at least not thoroughly, for him to pull out and shoot this campus officer. So that was very, very revealing to me.
Yes, it was. Yes, I saw that report this morning. For those that don't know what you're talking about, the campus police were sent to do like a student welfare check. So they go into this student's room and they see drug paraphernalia and what have you. And so instead of body slamming him on the floor and putting him in handcuffs and made to do the perp walk off the student campus or out the student lodging and thrown into the back of the police car and taken to the police station. No, he was treated with what some people would term white privilege. He was not treated as if this had been one of these slave catchers coming into my house or your house or pick a house in the black community. No. So, yeah. And I would, the other thing I thought about, Tag, is white males, and this is documented, white males have killed more police officers than any other demographic. But they don't really talk about that a lot anymore, do they?
No. In fact, I mean, I was doing a little bit of research around this, given the fact that this entire report seems to hone in on these six incidents of slave catcher deaths, allegedly premeditated slave catcher deaths, right? And the time period that they're focusing on is from 2014 to the present. So according to the site, Officer Down Memorial page, odmp.org, where they track slave catcher deaths and the like, according to that website, from 2014 to present, there have been 188 slave catcher deaths by gunfire. So if you just look at the trends or the patterns as regards these kinds of shootings, which many of which get barely any coverage, certainly not the 24-hour, you know, for several days or even weeks kind of coverage that slave catcher deaths at the hands of black individuals get. If you look at those patterns and think about these 188 slave catcher deaths, it's hard to imagine that the majority of them were at the hands of black people. And so when you think about six incidents with a total of, you know, let's say a little over 10 deaths, you know, that's not even, you know, that's barely 1/20th of the total slave catcher deaths by gunfire for right. that period.
Right, right. I agree. And the facts are important. And all of this is documented. And that's what I was saying yesterday, is when they use words like black people perceive police killings is a problem, or they, you know, these words mean that it's all in your mind. But again, we have all these databases showing the victims of police killings in this country. And, you know, I would point out again to white males are the ones who are killed more than anyone else. It's just that in the black community, we point out that we're disproportionately killed based on our population number, based on the population number of white males. It's far more of them. And so, but I would use that argument in that, hey, it seems to me that the white males is the ones that really truly got a beef, even though it's not really publicized, with slave catchers killing them, cause a lot of them is being killed. And so they're acting in kind. I don't see any kind of report like that coming out. Again, this report, I can make those assumptions and use that opinion, because that's basically all they're saying this report is somebody's intelligence assessment. Well, based off the intelligence of white males being killed the most by slave catchers, and based off the intelligence gathered that slave catchers are killed by white males the most, why y'all trying to drag black people into that? Well, we know why. Because it fits your political agenda of continued slavery, and y'all don't want to see any kind of pushback against that. So that's my thoughts on that. Tag, unless you have something else, we're going to take another music break, and then when we come back on the other side, we will look at the next couple of pages of this report. Did you have anything else?
No, just looking toward continuing to parse this out.
Okay. All right. Hang on then. All right. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. I try to broadcast every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, but sometimes things happen and I'm not able to make that date. But we're typically heard Monday through Friday from 12 p.m. noon to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. So we're going to keep the music rolling again, dedicating some black identity music to the Trump administration and the ghost skins over there at the FBI. So we're going to kick it with a track from It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back.
Hi.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Now, believe me when I say this, what I'm about to tell you. Now with the YouTube, because I, you know, just wanted to quickly find some tracks from that P.E. album, It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back. They have demonetized P.E. on YouTube, y'all. Okay? Yeah, they have demonetized Public Enemy on YouTube, because you can't be listening to that B.I.E. extremism music that tell you that the media tells you lies. Again, this album right here, I think came out, did this one come out before or after Fear of a Black Planet? I'm not exactly sure. Let me pull it up and get some dates here, because now this term fake news is really taking off, especially as they try to blame the Russians for Hillary Clinton's loss. Never mind the fact that she was part of that conspiracy to give Donald Trump 24/7 coverage on CNN and other liberal media during the Republican primary, at the expense of not covering all the other candidates. So that's become a big term now. Y'all just heard P.E. talking about that, all right, when they said the fake media. Don't believe it. That's what the whole track is about. Don't Believe the Hype is the name of the track. I'm actually trying to look up, when did It Take a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back come out? But we're going to get into this report, what they call in the BIE report. And let me just see if I can, 1988. All right, so it came out 2 years before Fear of a Black Planet. And they were talking about the fake news media back then. But since black people say those things and don't, you know, you had to be careful when you're watching the corporate media and how they work with COINTELPRO, the FBI, put out fake news and what have you. Oh, we're extremists if we take that view, but it's perfectly okay with you to push the nonsense that the Russians influence the elections by paying for some ads and putting out fake news about Hillary Clinton. Come on, really? So let me pull up this report, which I have the PDF version. Let me clear some of my screen right now. So we're on page 3, and it is the scope note. What does that mean? We'll have to look that up later, the terminology. What do they mean by the scope note? This is the scope of this report or what? This intelligence assessment focuses on individuals with BIE ideological motivations who have committed targeted premeditated attacks against law enforcement officers since 2014. This assessment does not address BIEs who have attacked law enforcement officers during the course of the officers' routine duties, such as responding to calls and traffic stops in which violent actions were reactionary in nature. So again, this just goes back to what I was saying, that if you see a red, black, and green bumper sticker of Africa, you rolling up on the terrorists and they might shoot you. That's what this serves the purpose of doing. And it's right there, mentioning traffic stops. All right, this assessment addresses the following key intelligence questions. To what extent are BIE's targeting interests retaliatory? What cross-programmic relationships influence the BIE movement? Okay, when they talking about, again, they making up terms here or terms I'm not aware of, cross-programmatic relationships. What is that? What does that mean? They're listening to conscious or watching conscious videos on YouTube, or they're on a platform called Black Talk Radio and they are influencing the BIE movement. That's what it sounds like to me. This assessment is the first FBI analytic intelligence product to assess influences between the sovereign citizen extremist movement and the black identity extremist movement. The FBI has previously reported on BIE retaliatory violence against law enforcement in two products, both of which had findings consistent with this assessment. The March The 23 March 2016 FBI bulletin, intelligence bulletin, titled Black Separatist Extremists Call for Retaliation in Response to Police-Involved Incidents Could Incite Acts of Violence Against Law Enforcement. Assess incidents involving allegations of law enforcement abuse and related legal proceedings would likely lead to BSE's calls for violent retaliation and incite these domestic extremists to commit violent acts against law enforcement. And the 14 November 2014 FBI Intelligence Bulletin titled Potential Criminal Reactions to Missouri Grand Jury Announcements assessed the announcement of the grand jury's decision in the shooting death of Michael Brown in Ferguson would likely be exploited by some individuals to justify threats and attacks against law enforcement and critical infrastructure. Now, what just came to my mind? I was picturing, and I mentioned this on air, why you have to be careful about infiltrators and provocateurs infiltrating your movement. So, like we reported on, there was a march that was happening in Ferguson, and you had all these out-of-towners, for lack of a better word or phrase or term, came to Ferguson. Some of these people were associated with the new Black Panther Party, not to be confused with the original Black Panther Party. And the community members were all lining up for a march. And I don't know this man's name, but I've seen him in several videos associated with them. And I want them, I mean the new Black Panther Party. And he's standing at the front, in the front row, locking hands. And what was his exact phrase he kept chanting? Something about kill police, something to that effect. Just very provocative chant. Nobody else. All that wasn't an entire new Black Panther Party formation. And I've talked about this. Stop bringing attention to yourselves. Stop saying these provocative things that you know you don't have no intention of doing, because you just give ammunition to the enemy, primarily propaganda ammunition, to do what they're doing. There's an old saying. I don't know where this saying came from, but it said, don't talk about it, be about it. Just do it. Don't go on the internet telling us you're going to do this, that, and the other, or we need to do this, that, and the other, and then you use this language that's very unintelligent, because if you really were connected to some underground formation, you wouldn't be out there pulling attention to yourself like that. See, some of these people are attention whores, and they was getting a whole lot of YouTube views off of being attention whores. And they weren't individuals to be taken serious. But since they out there, let's make them the face of this made up Black identity extremist movement. So this is, again, being careful with your words. Everything ain't for being discussed in the public sphere. It's just not. And I'm talking in general terms here. So you have to be careful. You have to be careful, especially if you are involved in any kind of constructive formations or movements that's trying to address these very real issues. You have to be careful, because you can bring trouble to yourself. Again, they don't have to prove the charges. Just bringing the charges can have a devastating impact on a movement. If I go out here saying stupid, crazy stuff, questionable stuff, just to be an attention whore, I might get charged. And who's going to pay my legal bills? See what I'm saying? Sometimes we put ourselves in the crosshairs unnecessarily. I'm not saying be a coward or don't say anything or be, just ignore everything that's going on. No, I'm saying just be intelligent in your use of language. Don't be an attention whore. Cause somebody going to cheer you on. Oh, he told Whitey. He told Whitey. Y'all see him tell Whitey off. Yeah, yeah. That's what we need. No, that's not what we need, people. We need to be serious. Cause like Dr. Cambon said, black people tend to be very serious about not being very serious. And so, yes, I'm going to point out that I don't take this report serious because the people they talking about, I don't take serious. But of course, as this gets out there to all these different slave catchers, about a million slave catchers on the ground out there, they don't have all the information that I have. They don't share my views and know about these internal discussions that we have in the black community. I mean, some of us get offended at being labeled black. I'm not black. I'm not a crayon color and all that kind of stuff. Dog, that's not what we're talking about when we say black and proud. That's not what we mean. Okay, when we say black culture, we have these internal discussions among ourselves, and none of the discussions that I have been involved in have anybody talk about committing acts of terrorism or anything of the sort, using violence. No, they pointing to legal documents, pointing to historical documents, and saying if we did that, this, that, and the other. They ain't talking about picking up no guns and going to attack nobody. All right? So using these individual incidents to justify demonizing all these millions of black people in this country, it's incorrect to do that. But since when have they been concerned about doing the right thing? So it goes on to say, this is the yellow box section on page 3. This is the last part. After I read this, we can open up the phone lines if anybody wants to come in, or we can continue to break down the next section. But it says in the source summary statement, reporting in this intelligence assessment was derived primarily from FBI and law enforcement investigations and open source reporting, media interviews of subjects posting on social media accounts and online news articles deemed credible and reliable. Did what I just get through warning you about and talking about? What I just, man, the review of the FBI investigation occurred between September 2014 and December 2016. This is during the Obama administration, is it not? The open source reporting was current as of 17 January 2017, statements made by the subjects to law enforcement during the course of investigations were particularly helpful to identify motivations behind BIE attacks against law enforcement, because ideological motivations are infrequently identified or collected. Additional reporting on the ideological motivations behind BIE attacks would improve the confidence levels in this assessment. So they, again, these people, Christopher Dorner wasn't no B. I wouldn't say that he strongly stressed his black identity. He was pissed off because of the injustice. That's what he cited. He left behind a manifesto, and in that manifesto, he wasn't calling himself a Moor. He wasn't talking about we're gods and only original gods. We're the only original humans, and everybody else is something else. Hey, Christopher Dorner wasn't saying none of that. He was talking about the corruption that he witnessed as a law enforcement officer. All right, so they start to mention some names in this other part on this second page. The board is clear, so I'll go into it. All right, suspects' grievances very likely led to violent targeting of law enforcement. So let me read that again. Suspects' grievances very likely lead to violent targeting of law enforcement. I don't think they did a grammar check on this. But the FBI judges it is very likely, BIE, again, they judging that it's very likely. That means they're not sure. BIE perceptions of police brutality against African Americans have become organizing drivers for the BIE movement since 2014, resulting in spikes of BIEs intentionally targeting law enforcement with violence. In all six targeted attacks since 2014, the FBI assesses it is very likely the BIE suspects acted in retaliation for perceived past police brutality incidents. Either these incidents, if they cited any incidents, occurred or they didn't occur. Again, we don't perceive that slavery was never abolished. We know that slavery was never abolished by pointing you to the 13th Amendment, which many view as a credible document. Even though five of these attacks occurred following controversial police shootings of African American by white police officers, BIE targeting officers was not in every incident based on their specific race. Okay, so I don't understand that part right there. So again, they contradict the previous sentence when they said that there is a perception of police brutality, but then tell us that some of these shootings occurred right after African Americans were gunned down by white police officers. Okay. Now, on 7 July of 2016, Micah Johnson ambushed and shot 11 law enforcement officers, killing five in downtown Dallas, Texas, during a First Amendment protected protest, before being ultimately killed by police. The five deceased officers were white. The planned public event was protesting recent officer-involved shootings of African-Americans in Louisiana and Minnesota. Based on Johnson's journal writings and statements to police, he appeared to have been influenced by BIE ideology. So again, this is painting any lawful protest against the shooting of black people as being BIE ideology and not simply a protest against the shooting of black people by police. Disproportionately, because again, I want to continue to point out, it's not just black people who are among the thousand every year, over a thousand every year, who are gunned down by police. Okay? So, just because they're protesting, when in Charlotte, when they protested, the man who was shot, again, these names escape me sometimes, Scott, I think his last name was Scott, something like that, but when they protested against that, when the video appeared that a slave catcher from behind the bushes had witnessed shoot this man, and people didn't agree with that, and it was just part of a nationwide protests against law enforcement killing and rarely any accountability. Why I gotta be all black identified just because the majority of the people out there is black? Although we see a lot of white people at these protests with Black Lives Matter shirts on. So are they influenced by BIE so-called? Again, y'all, let's not treat this like BIE ideology is a real thing, because it's not. It is not. It is certainly not. During the standoff with police, Johnson told police negotiators he was upset about recent police shootings in white people and expressed a desire to kill white people, especially white officers. Johnson searched and liked social media pages of BIE and black separatist groups and has been ousted from a local BIE group for being too radical, according to a open source news article. So again, I didn't hear any audio of Johnson, Mr. Johnson, who is also a veteran of the United States Army, which they do not mention in here. Okay. I didn't hear any audio recordings of him having a conversation with the police. You would think that they will be recording that for evidence. Why hasn't it been released? So when they tell me he had a conversation with police and the police said he said this, that, and the other, where's the evidence? I don't believe it and I don't accept it. Let's see. On 23 October 2014, going into another report. Let me check the board. Tag, did you have something you wanted to add based off of what we've read thus far? Can't hear you, Tag.
Oh, pardon, pardon. Yes. One thing that I did want to look at, given that they started this in September of 2014, just like altering the numbers slightly to accommodate that, if you're looking at from 2015 to the present, the numbers that they report, their numbers are 140 slave catcher deaths by gunfire during that period, compared to what we know, the roughly 1,000 heads killed by slave catchers out here every year. So that plus this over 700. So if you say roughly 2,800 heads killed by slave catchers compared to this 140 figure of slave catchers killed by gunfire, it kind of points toward the valuation according to the state of quote-unquote blue lives, wherein it's essentially a 20-to-1 ratio as regards, you know, the casualties out here on the battlefield. So for every 20 of us killed by slave catchers, one of these allegedly perilously situated slave catchers is killed by gunfire. And of course, it doesn't go into great detail as to how this occurred. And we know they have a long history of so-called friendly fire, shooting each other over the course of their, you know, violent work.
And so, then blaming it on the people. That was what happened with Move 9 in Philadelphia. That officer exactly. was shot from behind by a police sniper. And it was a black cop, too, that got shot, if I'm not mistaken. And he's standing in front of the building. All the victims, the members of the Move 9, were in the basement. So how do you shoot somebody in the top of the head from behind while you in the basement in front of them? So, yes, they do have a history of that, Tag.
No, exactly. And just so Officer James Ramp, he was not a melanated individual, but he was out there in essentially a voluntary capacity. He didn't even need to be out there when he caught that slave catcher bullet, which just points toward his motivation, right. You know, in this, again, allegedly so dangerous position that's, you know, far down from number one of the most dangerous occupations out here. But regardless, you know, he could have been sitting at a desk and wanted to be out there for the Move confrontation. And, you know, who knows? I'm not inside his head, but perhaps wanted to, you know, be one of these Philly slave catcher heroes by, you know, busting some heads of Move family members or even shooting and killing one. So.
Yes. Yes.
And just very, very briefly, I also did want to connect this question of social media communications as some sort of basis of evidence for this, you know, completely concocted identifier or category of potential domestic terrorists to the Bronx 120 and the many other so-called gang raids that have been occurring out here in the city as of the last few years in particular, but all throughout the country. There was a major raid out in North Carolina not too long ago. And of course, we know out in California and out in Chicago, this is a major problem. So social media is heavily leaned on for these indictments, where they're surveilling children and teenagers, you know, and young adults for years on end, attempting to create associations and affiliations where they don't exist. But also this recent report around the Zionist 48 based company, Faceception, which is a technology that they allege is able to predict criminal activity beforehand, you know, and so this is something that has already been used to enslave Palestinian youths out here as of just a few months ago. So, and we know very well that the 48 out there, their safe catchers are in close contact and are, you know, joined at the hip with the slave catchers out here, particularly the NYPD, which has an office out there in Jerusalem, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, you're not mistaken. They have long had a close relationship with the Israelis, and Israelis police come here to train. I'm like, man, why are they coming here to train U.S. police officers with their long history of brutally oppressing non-white communities? But apparently the Israelis, with their occupation of Palestine, have developed some tactics from that situation. They come here and they train U.S. police on those tactics. So, yeah, they have long had a training relationship. Okay, so I do want to get into some more areas of this report, but I am going to take a station identification break and kick another track from It Takes a Nation, A Millions to Hold Us Back, some of that B.I.E. music that they, you know, tracking us on social media. Oh, he shared Black Public Enemy music online, but hey, before I forget, this is why you don't post everything on Facebook, and you don't use your real name. If you're going to be talking about politics, if you're going to be discussing what should be mundane topics and what have you, that no, now you get labeled an extremist. And definitely the police is all over Facebook. They got a working relationship. All right. Mark Zuckerberg wants to become president one day. He wants to be in charge of the empire. He wants to be in that position that Donald Trump is in, and he's going to need slave catchers in order to advance politically if those rumors are true. So again, btrcommunity.com was set up for this network. It's a $24 a year subscription. You don't have to use your real name. You don't have to post none of your pictures. We don't have any slave catchers that we know of unless they join as an individual. Not much we could do about that, but I don't think none of them would want me to know their real name. So I think they will pretty much, because of the way we have our social media community set up, not be so quick to join, but hey, they may join. So again, you should always watch what you're posting or whatnot, but we provide a level of security that you're not going to get on the open internet. So if you're doing social media, definitely they watching you. Just know that. All right, so let's go ahead and play another track. We'll take a station ID break, and then we'll come back and we'll get into the rest of this report after we play some music.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Black Talk Radio News, broadcasting this afternoon from the Black Talk Radio Network, kicking some of that B.I.E. music for your mind right there, 1988, Louder Than a Bomb, Public Enemy, talking about the FBI and how they tell us lies and they lying to you in this so-called B.I.E. report. Okay, they're using circumstantial evidence to create this hysteria that, oh, you got all of these black people who are arming up and training up and they got these weapons and they're into that black identity politics and what have you, and they are the ones that are motivating individuals to go out here and kill slave catchers. As if these people don't have minds of their own, can't read for themselves, and aren't taking this action based off of action people have taken, oppressed people have taken all throughout history. I could see if these people were making things up, but the stuff that they're citing very real events. People that aren't imagining that black men trying to warn a cop that, hey, I got a gun, I'm licensed to have this gun, my license and whatnot is in my pocket, even though I'm not driving, you know, But my license in my pocket. I'm going to reach in my pocket. Don't shoot me now. Bam, bam, bam. And you shoot him, and then you indict him, and then guess what? He gets set free. Like, those things ain't happening, because they're getting ready to start talking about that some of my country coming out. They're about to speak in this report about a perception that the criminal justice system ain't working. Again, we got all these studies, university professors, even government produced statistics showing us that the criminal justice system operates from a racist center. That's what, again, this is all part of slavery. The criminal justice system, once they passed the 13th Amendment and said that slavery and involuntary servitude shall be abolished except as punishment for crime. And then the black codes came and you're locking up black people for standing three or more in a group on a public street talking about whatever they talking about and saying they're loitering and throwing them in jail and throwing them into prison because they can't prove they have gainful employment or because they homeless or whatever, wandering the streets. We going to put them to work through the prisons. This is all documented. This isn't a perception. There have been books written about this. There have been documentary films written about the criminal justice system in this country. Man, and to say that people are perceiving something wrong, let me get into this more, okay? We talked about Micah Johnson. Next, they say on October the 23rd, 2014, Zale H. Thompson attacked four white New York Police Department officers in Queens with a hatchet. One officer received injuries to his arm. A second officer received an injury to the side of his head. The two remaining NYPD officers at the scene shot and killed Thompson, according to open source reporting. Thompson was angered, according to open source reporting. Thompson was angered after a recent spate of deaths at the hands of the police. So this open source reporting is reporting on recent spates of deaths at the hands of the police. He didn't precede that. In his own writings, Thompson's advocated for armed struggle against the oppressors and mass revolt against the U.S. social, economic, and political systems, which he perceived to be white dominated. Are they not white dominated? That's not a perception. When you look at Congress, and it's darn near 95% white. So how can you say this is a perception? It is white dominated. He also described the United States as a beast and called for chopping off his head, hands, and feet. NYPD observed tattoos on Thompson's body that indicated he was affiliated with a black separatist extremist group, and pocket litter indicating that he may have been associated with another black separatist group, according to law enforcement reporting. Pocket litter? What the hell is pocket litter? I think he had some some tissue paper or some paper or some dirt in his pockets, pocket litter. I never heard that term before. And so this pocket litter indicated he was associated with a black separatist group. All right. Okay. Whatever. All right. So convergence of BIE and Morris sovereign citizen ideology very likely leads to violence against law enforcement officers. The FBI assesses it is very likely a few of the BIEs, again, very likely, not certain, who have targeted law enforcement since 2014 were influenced by more than one ideological perspective. The FBI judges it is very likely in 4 to 6 BIE attacks against law enforcement since 2014, the perpetrators were motivated by a mix of BIE ideology and the Morris sovereign citizens extremist ideology, a category of SCE ideology. The FBI assesses is very likely BIE adoption of a Morris SCE identity reinforced a sense of disenfranchisement from society and a perception that the criminal justice system is unjust. Now, we're getting into the fifth page, and I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to leave it right there again. It should be no surprise that you hear the word perception or perceive or perspective used over and over in this. And because they're trying to say that these things that these people were concerned about were not based in reality, but based on a perception, based off of different black individuals or groups' ideology. Now, again, I'll point out that the Morris Science Temple is a U.S. federal government recognized 501c whatever religious organization. All right. Many of these organizations have this. So to say they're incorporated as a religion. And anything that I've come across on studying the history of the Moors and whatnot, I have not seen them engage or advocating for armed struggle. Anybody can identify with any kind of label. Doesn't mean they actually belong to the group or the temple or are a dupin. Remember, anybody could do that. So again, the dangers of just painting people with a broad brush. Let me see. This part really gets me. The FBI assesses it is very likely the BIE adoption of a Moorish SCE identity reinforced a sense of disenfranchisement from society and a perception that the criminal justice system is unjust. Again, the ridiculousness of this is because you have programs that they're trying to dismantle right now called affirmative action, which is the government recognizing the disenfranchisement, historical and the present disenfranchisement of black people. I guess next you're going to tell us that these women who have this women identity ideology are extremists because they want equal pay. Is that what you're going to tell us? And that they're perceiving that their pay is unequal and it's not real. So they're extremists. That's an extremist ideology. Okay. Then you have the Supreme Court who recently ruled in a case out of North Carolina that the state legislators, that's political, that's politics, were gerrymandering the voting districts in a way to disenfranchise black people. That's your Supreme Court just said this. So don't put it on the Moorish Science Temple as creating a perception of society disenfranchising black people. Your own Supreme Court just confirmed that. That's the highest court of the land. They just said that. And a bunch of other states are in the news for similar reasons. So these aren't perceptions. These are things that are being reported on and litigated in courts all over America. Well, I mean, wow. This is a state, this is a nation that had to pass the 1964 Civil Rights Act and tell employers that it's illegal to discriminate against people based on religion, skin color, nationality, sex. They wouldn't have had to pass that and make it a law to make that illegal if that wasn't the standard operating procedures of the day. People still wouldn't be getting charged with violating those laws if this disenfranchisement was all in our minds. So, again, this is nothing but an assessment and an opinion or opinions of a report put together, likely, I'm going to use some of their words, likely by white supremacists who have infiltrated the FBI, according to the FBI in its own 2006 report. I can do this all day if they want to play these word games. I can do it all day. Tag, did you have something to share as we get ready to wrap it up in our last 5 minutes of the broadcast? What do you have to say over these last two, what we covered today as part of this BIE report from the FBI?
Yes, just a couple of things. You mentioned this question of religious freedom and the Morris Science Temple as a religious or spiritual institution. And we have recently seen the Justice Department come out, you know, with these principles, 20 principles regarding religious freedom, you know, as a directive. So, for example, in this article in a very questionable source, Washington Post, written by Jonathan Capehart, Trump's War on the American People, it lays out some of these principles regarding freedom of religion that the Justice Department just released very recently as a directive. And it's talking about how, quote unquote, Americans do not give up their freedom of religion by participating in the marketplace, partaking of the public square, interacting with government, et cetera, basically extending various rights and privileges to religious individuals and organizations. So to have such a directive released and at the same time have the feds, you know, quietly and now not so quietly compiling this registry in part or at least by name identifying Moorish sovereign individuals or those who subscribe to Moorish ideology is quite a contradiction.
It's quite a contradiction. But obviously we know, Doltag, that this administration is only interested in protecting religious freedoms in terms of the right-wing conservative Christian right to not be forced to pay for an abortion or any kind of health coverage that would cover abortions or any kind of contraceptives. It allows these religious institutions, based on their beliefs, to engage in what some women would say was sexual reproductive discrimination. So it's giving them a pass on that while at the same time identifying the religious adherence to the Morris Science Temple ideology as potential extremists calling them extremists and potential terrorists. Good observation, Tag.
And I'd also just like to point toward this developing false equivalency that is an ongoing concern and that we should definitely make sure that we push back against because it's extremely dangerous that essentially it seems that the corporate state media is looking to firm up this false equivalency between those who identify with white supremacy and this made up concept of black identity extremists. And so this report certainly helps to firm that up. And then we see in a recent article coming out of WMC Action News 5, titled Memphis Activists Angered by FBI Report About Black Extremists. You have a BLM member, a pastor, a local BLM member out of Memphis, quoted as saying that it's confusing because it seems to articulate that there is something wrong with identifying with blackness when we see so many people who identify with white nationalism that get called by the president and others, quote, good people. Now, of course, I mean, that is confusing, and it's important to highlight that fact. But if we look at the purpose for this publication's use of that quote, it becomes quite clear that it helps to create this illusion of an equivalency between this made-up category and the very real and long-standing presence of white nationalists, those who believe in white supremacy, and terrorists, domestic terrorists, under the aegis of whiteness and the continued dominance of the white population the world over. So that seems to me to be an one of the possible results, the firming up of this false equivalency of this report being quote unquote leaked. Although certainly the argument could be made for this being an example of ironically quote unquote black propaganda on the part of the invisible government, so to speak.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know what you've heard, Tag, and I don't have any information how this got released to the public. I don't know if this was a FOIA request, but how can you put in a FOIA request if you don't know what you're requesting? But I also found it interesting that it named a string of documents, some going back or similar assessments about black people going back to the Obama administration. I know some black people will try to overlook that, and that's why I try to tell you that, you know, why I have a black identity and I identify as black, not every, all skin folk ain't kin folk. And so, you know, when we point out, you know, a Barack Obama who is part of the very state that is oppressing us and other butter biscuit chasers and what have you, then how can you make it a racialized thing when we're pointing out the black people who are part of being slave catchers, who are part of the modern day prison plantation system and doing great harm? So for me, you know, you can't paint me in no corner. I'm proud of my black identity, which is more of a cultural thing than a genetic thing for me. Like I've heard X-Clan say, black is a state of mind. So I grew up in black communities with black culture, black music, obviously, and that is where my black identity is based. And there's nothing extreme about that. But I also recognize that we have many enemies within who are possibly could have had a role in producing this report. So they can't paint us in no corner. I won't allow them to, nor will I allow them to chill my speech. That is, again, the reason Black Talk Radio Network exists. Not because we were extremists, but because we didn't want to deal with the extreme racism that was on that other platform that we were on that would attack us simply because of our skin color. Something that the United States government in 1964 said was illegal and unlawful. So, anyway, that's all I have to say about this report today. Again, we'll pick it back up tomorrow so that we can identify some of the propaganda talking points that we are going to see. They go more into the Moors and talking about how they made anti-white statements, and they talk about different individuals. So we'll look at page 5 and page 6 and possibly page 7 tomorrow. Yeah, we'll go through those three pages tomorrow. All right, thank you all for tuning in. Podcast will be posted later today. Please share the podcast with others. Thank you to those who called in to share their news and their views and their assessments on this so-called assessment of so-called BIE. Extremism. This was produced by the Counterterrorism Department of the FBI. Again, as Tag was alluding to, the timing just seems awful suspect. And I'll point out again, Congress just had Donald Trump sign a resolution into law condemning white supremacy and directing agencies such as the Counterterrorism Division of the FBI to do something about white supremacy. Terrorism, and their response is to come out with this report talking, pointing the finger at black people. Very transparent to me what they're doing. So we definitely want to spend more time the rest of this week on the rest of this report. Recognize the fact that you do live behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. They practice in slavery and human trafficking via the 13th Amendment, which says that those things are lawful as long as you convict a person of a crime. And like, I didn't catch it. Otis said this on New Abolitionist Radio the other night, and it's very important. The Constitution doesn't say you have to be justly convicted, meaning your conviction was above board You know, there was no manufacturing of evidence and witnesses and no planting of drugs or any other kind of evidence to obtain a conviction. It don't say a just conviction. It says duly convicted. Duly, as Otis pointed out, means going through the process, meaning we gave you a defense attorney or an opportunity to get your own defense attorney. All right. And we scheduled you a trial that you participated in, and we put you before a jury and a judge. And so it doesn't matter if the verdict was based on justice. We went through the process. So you were duly convicted. And once duly convicted, we can put you into slavery and involuntary servitude. Scotty ain't make that up, y'all. That's in the Constitution. So that's pretty extreme to me. In my assessment of the Constitution, the 13th Amendment, that it did not abolish slavery, and that's what we're really truly fighting against. And white supremacy and racism is a tool that they use to facilitate the continuation of that slavery. All right, peace and blessings to all y'all. Be safe out there. Closing it out with some Black Steel in the Hour of Chaos. This is Public Enemy. Hello, this is Scotty Reed, and thank you for listening to this podcast and sharing it with others. Please consider making a donation to the U.S.-based nonprofit media organization Black Talk Media Project in support of its efforts to elevate independent Black voices. You can also support the work by joining the network's social media community, BTR Community, for just $24 a year. Black Talk Media Project is leading the way in the production of grassroots Black media.